Thank you, Roger. If you'll keep your Bibles open, we'll be there in just a little bit. Keep your thumb there anyway and keep that marked. We'll return to that passage in just a bit. I wanted to continue sort of on the thought that Joe presented last week, and I think he opened the lesson with the idea of this being a very busy time of year. And then we've had a week that has transpired since then. I know you've had a lot of activities going on. A lot of different things that bring folks together during this holiday season. Probably have family coming in. We have family here this morning. The Smith family's back with us from Texas, and they think that it's cold up here. So I don't know. But it's good to have families back, time of visit and reunion. Our holiday season has kind of been superseded by a wedding. We have a wedding that will take place a week from today. There's an announcement in the bulletin, and we want to make sure that everyone here knows that you're invited to celebrate with us on that day. The address is there. It's at 2:30 in the afternoon, and I've checked the long-range forecast. They're calling for sunshine. Can you believe that? Not hardly at this point. But we'd love everyone to be there that could be to celebrate with us next week. Let's go back and look at Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6 is the verse that Joe looked at last week and talked about the gift. And I want to go ahead and continue on that thought and maybe take it in just a little different direction this morning. But verse 6 of chapter 9, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And if you remember last week, we looked at those different titles or those different names given to this gift. And this gift was given to each and every one. Have you ever received that gift and thought, wow, that is just much more than I deserve? I didn't do anything really to deserve this, and I don't even feel worthy of this. And maybe it was a money gift that someone gave you. It was very much unexpected. And you said, I want to bless others. I want to give this away. I want to help others because I've been blessed. Maybe something has happened similar to that in your lifetime. Maybe something will in the days to come. This morning, we need to look at the gift that we received much in that same way. I want to bless others. I want to give a gift to others. I want to be a blessing to others because of the gift that I have received. And we think about gifts this time of year. I'm going to look at four things this morning, four ways that hopefully we can bless others. This is a very practical lesson, one that you may think, well, that's simple, and it is. But yet, is it things that we think about all throughout the year? We think of gifts this time of year. We think of blessing others maybe during this season. But does it go beyond that? Are we really serious in helping others? You know, in today's world, we're very private. We like to keep our business to ourselves, do we not? I'll go into a hospital and try to visit someone, and it's sometimes hard to get information because of the privacy acts that have been put into place. And you all know those that work in the healthcare industry or have been in the hospital. And there's, I guess, some good to be said for some of these. But we live in that private world. And most of us probably remember times when people sat on their front porch and people would pass by. You would wave at them, holler at them, speak to them. They were the neighbors that you knew, and they would maybe even stop and take time to visit. You know, as the church, we're a community of believers, and we're referred to as the body of Christ or the family of God. But I think sometimes we allow this idea of privacy to even enter into the family of God, the church, the body of Christ that we're a part of. We like to be private. We don't like others to know our business. We don't want others meddling in our affairs. I think we've become privatized as the church. But then maybe the emphasis has shifted from others onto ourselves. We're only thinking of self. And what can I gain from church? What can I gain from being a part of that body? I'm not really interested in thinking of others, and oftentimes I just think of self. That's sort of human nature, and we have to guard against that to begin with. And if we don't, we sometimes maybe fall into that category. Maybe you've heard someone make the statement, well, the church just wasn't doing much for me, so I'm going to go look for another place to worship. Or I just can't find a really good spot, and I'm going to just go find another place where I can spend my Sunday mornings. Could we sometimes reverse that? What are we doing for the church? What are you doing for that body of believers? How are you blessing them? What gifts are you giving? But I believe that this selfishness that dominates society has bled into the church and is one of the probably biggest problems that we have to deal with today. We need to get out of our mindset that our lives are our business and no one else's. In this body, this community of believers, we're surrounded by family. We're surrounded by those that can help, those that want to help, those that we do call on sometimes to help. We're going to look at several passages this morning as we go through this lesson. And I do want to mention four things. And as we're going through this, I want you to think in your mind and think of someone that you can serve this week. Someone that you can be a blessing to this week. And that's only the start. We then have a whole new year to begin with. And I think the first thing we need to look at is serving one another. One of the main ideas that I want to emphasize this morning is that we should have a genuine concern for one another as the body of Christ and as a community of believers. Do you have that concern for others this morning? You may say, well, I do. I'm interested in them, and I think being interested is one thing, and serving is then something else. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Each one should use whatever gift, we're talking about gifts, that he has received. Is that idea of passing on found in this verse? You bet it is. Scriptures do tell us every Christian, has a unique talent. We are different. We're individual. We're unique. Some are able to do things that others can't. And others can do things that I can't do. But this idea of serving should be forefront in our minds each and every day of our Christian life. You know, we realize that serving may require some personal sacrifices. It may mean that we have to give up some of our own wants, some of our own desires, put other people's needs in front of ours. Perhaps serving may mean that you have to sacrifice time, energy, money, or things that you want to do. There again, breaking out of that looking inward to that looking to the neighbor, looking to the community, looking to that person sitting next to you or two rows behind. Serving may also cause us to be more selfless. Galatians chapter 6, there in verse 9, says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Serving doesn't always come easy. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it requires sacrifice. Serving may require discomfort. It isn't always pretty. A lot of people refuse to serve anyone because they're lazy, self-centered, thinking of self. And maybe that's as far as it goes. But there is great importance in serving. Christ exemplified this in His life. Christianity is manifested by our service, is it not? Others can see that we're a Christian by the life that we live, the example that we set, the service that we provide for others. Jesus said that He came to save, Luke 19 and verse 10. He came to serve, Matthew 20 and verse 28. And it is through our service that causes others to want to know more about the Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before men. Why? So that they can see those good deeds. So that the Father will be praised. It all works together very nicely. Sometimes maybe we're just afraid to start serving because we don't know what to do. We don't know how to serve. I think that goes back to the talents that you've been blessed with. Last week we came here on Sunday morning. There was a table full of baskets that had been left and were there to be distributed. And those were all taken by Sunday night. I grabbed one and delivered it, I believe it was on Tuesday of this past week. And I delivered it to one of our shut-ins in a nursing home. She's 92 years old and can't see very well. Was very appreciative of the basket and said that really meant a lot to her. But she said, while I was there, she asked, can you do something for me? And that's one of those things, well, I think so, what is it? She just said, could we sing a song? And I've never been requested to do that in a one-on-one visit like that. And I said, well, sure, I'd love to. Do you have a song that you want to sing? And she said, what about when the roll is called up yonder? And so we sang a verse of that. She said, can we sing another song? The Old Rugged Cross. We sang that song this morning. We sang a verse of that. We enjoyed time together and singing. And she told me before I left, she said, I appreciate that basket, but come back and sing sometime. You know, that's a very small thing. That's something that doesn't take a lot of time, doesn't take a lot of energy, doesn't take a lot of effort, but a way to serve. And that's what we've got to look for, those areas in which we can serve. Going right along with that's the second thing, encouraging one another. This in itself is a little bit different and has a little bit different meaning that goes along. You know, I've heard stories of soldiers say that in battle, that when they're fighting, they would rather wound a soldier than kill one. And why is that? If you kill someone, they're just left there. You go on. If you wound someone, it takes two more soldiers a lot of times to help get that wounded soldier out of the battlefield or out of the battleground. So you're tying up more people on the opposing side. You know, sometimes I believe the devil works like that. We have a lot of wounded people that make up the church. We have people who are wounded because of their past sins. They're overwhelmed with guilt of those sins. People who are wounded because of sins they're struggling with on a daily basis. We are constantly in contact with wounded people. We have a number gathered here this morning. How can we help that? How can we be a source of encouragement for those? One of the greatest ways for us to help one another is through a steady diet of encouragement. Sometimes maybe we don't distinguish that from flattery. Flattery is a compliment. And that's a good thing. We do want to compliment one another. But encouragement goes deeper. It's the spurring someone on to do more for the kingdom. And maybe you begin that by complimenting them. Say, you're doing a good job. Let me help you go further. You're doing a good job. How can I help you do more? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. You'll notice this idea of encouraging one another is not just something that is a suggestion or something we might do if we have time, but I believe it's a duty for each and every Christian to encourage one another. We're on that same team. We have that same goal that we're striving for. Let's play like teammates. Let's play like we're looking in that same direction. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We see plainly the necessity of people being encouraged, so we won't fall into that trap, so we can remain strong. I think another idea that we see through Scripture is that, and the third thing is bearing burdens for one another. Back in Galatians, earlier in chapter 6, we didn't read this in our text this morning, but verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You know, in this life we're going to face some great burdens. We're going to face some difficult times. And to our fault, sometimes we schedule ourselves from everyone while we attempt to handle our burdens ourselves. We think we can do it on our own. We don't need any help. I don't need your assistance. I'm doing fine. Scripture calls us to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And there are many people who need their burdens carried in the church. It wouldn't be hard to find someone to help. And there's another side I want to mention just briefly here as well. Sometimes we're the ones that need a burden carried and lifted from us, and we need to be willing to let others step in and help us. We're not always good at that, are we? We live in a proud society. We live in a country that we tout being able to do things on our own. We stand tall. We sort of puff up sometimes. We need to be willing to let others help us as well. And then the fourth item, and one that probably would supersede any of these, because we can do this anytime, any place, at any point in our life, no matter where we are. We also have the duty to pray for one another. You know, many times we get phone calls or we maybe hear of someone that's sick and never actually pray for that person. And I know that I'm probably guilty of that as well. As I visit, well, I'll keep you in my prayers. Do we always do that? Do we always follow through? We mentioned the Rivera family this morning. That's a family that we can pray for this week. Someone that we know of that's in need, that's hurting this very week. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." And I believe that if we would actually take prayer seriously, we could change the world. The truth of the matter is prayer is not an option for Christians. It's one of the duties that we have for the body of Christ. And you know, there is no greater comfort than to know that someone is praying for you. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, "I'm praying for you"? I meet with one of the ladies of our congregation on a weekly basis in my office, and we just have a short Bible study together. She really enjoys that, and it's a time that we can just spend some time together. And she told me one time, she said, "I pray for you and your family every day." What a feeling. In Acts chapter 12, Peter was in prison. The church met together and earnestly prayed to God on his behalf. Let us really pray for one another. You know, there's a character spoken of in the New Testament. We don't know much about him, but Paul does reveal a little bit about his character, and it's found there in Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. "Epaphras, one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis." Epaphras, we don't know much about him, but he wrestled in prayer. Paul vouched for him, said he's working hard for you. He doesn't know you. He may not have met you. But he's praying for you. Literally, it says that he was agonizing in prayer for them. Do you ever have times where someone else's problems and burdens are so real you can agonize in prayer for them? So you're serving. You're bearing one another's burden. You're spending time in prayer. We need to remember this morning, the rewards in serving others are innumerable. However, the one who receives the greater benefit from serving is not the one being served, but the servant. And I believe that's why Jesus said, "The servant is the greatest in the kingdom." How are you blessing others this morning? We looked last week at the gift that we've all been blessed with. So how do we pass that on? How do we send that to our neighbor? How do we send that to our coworker? How do we bless others? How do we do that here within this family? And that's what we've specifically been looking at this morning. A few years ago, Ron Willingham wrote a book entitled "Life is What You Make It." And he tells a story in this book that took place about 30 years earlier. It was about a member of a congregation in Amarillo, Texas. This gentleman's name was Giles Tate. And he shared the story in this book. He said, one day while going home from work, Giles saw two children playing in a vacant lot. They were dirty, ragged, and hungry looking. He stopped his car and asked where they lived. They pointed to an old abandoned school bus standing near the alley. They told Giles that they lived there with their father, who was very sick. He goes on to say, our brother in Christ went to see what he could do for the children's father. The bus was in terrible condition. The windows were broken out and cardboard was substituted. Beds were made of old decaying seats, newspaper, and weeds. He said it was a pathetic sight. The children's father was too weak to stand. Thinking him near death, Giles took him to the hospital. There it was determined that the man had tuberculosis. He was put into a hospital room and quarantined. Giles, this great servant of Jesus, told the hospital that he would pay for all the man's medical expenses. He didn't forget the man, but continued to visit him. Since he couldn't go into the room, he stood outside and talked through the window screen. The man asked Giles to bring his Bible and read to him. Giles did that every single day. The very day the man was released, he wanted to be baptized into Christ. While getting ready to be baptized, he told the preacher, over the years, I've heard a lot about Jesus Christ and how he cared about people. But never had I seen him living in anyone like I did Giles, who cared so deeply for me and my children. You know, we can hear those stories all day long, can we not? We can hear the stories of Jesus and how he cared for so many. But how's that exemplified here on this earth? That's through you and through me. Someone once wrote, people are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you're successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. The biggest people with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest people with the smallest pride. Think big anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. Give the world your best, that you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you've got anyway. Let's bring that home this morning. What about this body of believers right here? How are we serving one another? How are we encouraging one another? How well are we doing at bearing one another's burdens? And are we praying for one another? Are others being blessed by our lives this morning? We have been blessed so richly. I'm waiting for that amen. We have, haven't we? That was the perfect spot for it. We have. We've been given more than we ever deserved. We looked at that last week. We saw in Joe's lesson last week the gift that we've been blessed with. Let's bless others today. And not only today, but in the week to come, in the year to come. And it starts by something very small. It doesn't have to be a big thing. The biggest thing we can do is pray. You can do that this very day. Pray specifically for someone who has a need. Maybe you have a need this morning and you would like the prayers of this body of believers. That's something that we offer each and every time we meet together, is the invitation. We can do that this morning. One of our shepherds will come and pray for you this morning, whatever that need may be. Maybe you haven't yet put on Christ through baptism and would like to take that step. What a wonderful opportunity this morning. We're guaranteed of no other opportunity than right now. But you have that opportunity. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?